Today we are going to be talking about the return of Christ, and there's a warning before the rapture when love for Jesus grows cold. This is the biggest danger facing all who are preparing for the rapture of our Lord Jesus. So I'm going to read to you a passage from the Bible, and our passage will be taken from Matthew chapter 24, a passage in which Jesus explained to the disciples who wanted to know when he was going to come again. And chapter 24, verse 9, Jesus said, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended," or many will fall away, "will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved." And the key word here is that the love of many will grow cold. We are going to address the issue of problem of our hearts getting cold. So I'm going to be addressing just three key things. I'm going to talk about what's the problem of the heart, and why it matters for each one of us. What's the problem of the heart that causes our love to grow cold? That's the first thing. Then second thing, we're going to look at what are the signs that our hearts are growing cold. Because it sometimes happens surreptitiously, we don't even realize our hearts are getting cold. Then lastly, we'll talk about what can we do about it. Three things. So, what is the problem of the heart and why it matters? Let's ask God to illuminate our spirit so that we'll understand what Jesus says. Father in heaven, we draw near to you this day, and we recognize that only by your power and your spirit can we understand the deep things of God. And as we talk about the day approaching when Jesus will come to receive us, we realize the biggest danger is our hearts growing cold. And so today, Spirit of the Living God, will you just instruct us as to how to address this issue in our personal lives? We ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Jesus said a number of things here in the last days as we approach the day of his rapture. And many things will happen. The Lord talked about earthquakes increasing. Even in last week, there were three earthquakes. One in Indonesia, one in Solomon Islands, another one in Turkey. So the increase intensity, the increase in frequency, and some of the signs. But today I want to focus primarily on the biggest problem, our hearts growing cold. And Jesus mentioned the word many, many times. He says in the first thing that because there are many false prophets coming up, many will be deceived. So many will be deceived. Secondly, there is a second danger, and many will turn from the faith, according to verse 10. Because you are offended. They're offended. And Jesus is talking about Christians in these few verses. He's not talking about non-believers. He says that it's only Christians that can turn away from their faith, because non-Christians don't have any faith to talk about. He's talking about Christians. They will turn away from the faith, or to fall away. That's another word that's used. Or who gets offended. Many. The Bible says many. And then, thirdly, it says that because of lawlessness, the love of many. So it's not talking about few people. It's about the love of many. Many people, many Christians will find that their love for Jesus grows cold. This is the last one that I want to focus on. How do we address the issue where our love for Jesus is growing cold? It says the love of many. It's not just the love of a few. The other NIV says the love of most. Most what? Most Christians. So how do we make sure we are not among the many whose love has grown cold? So we want to talk about what's this problem here. And there is a cold wave sweeping through the globe today. This cold wave has a chilling effect. It affects most Christians. To grow cold presumes that you initially started hot. Every time, you know, a mother cooks a meal, she puts her food on the table and she says, tell all the children, come and eat. Otherwise, the food will grow cold. You never have a case where take your time because the food will grow hot. No, it always gets colder, not hotter. So this is a natural condition of the human heart, that we can start warm, but it grows cold. So what is the problem here? It's a problem of the heart. Our love can grow cold. The love that is shed between two persons when they get married, that love can grow cold too. Everything that is warm and hot will naturally grow cold unless action is being taken to correct it. But nobody is going to take any action unless it matters. Does it really matter? So Jesus talks about this cold wave that is coming. And the context of this cold wave that is sweeping around the globe into churches is in the context of the rapture. That means Jesus is saying that on the day I come, as the day approaches, this is the biggest danger you're going to face, that your hearts may grow cold. And because your hearts grow cold, it is going to matter. It matters because it'll make a difference whether you'll be raptured or not. Hearts that are cold cannot be raptured because our hearts have stopped relating to God. Now, what is the root of growing coldness? Well, first of all, it is when we begin to lose relationship with our Lord Jesus. When the relationship gets cold, that means we have no time for Him and our sense of kinship begins to reduce. So what is this problem here? They say the problem of the heart, or the heart of the problem, is a problem of the heart. So when the Bible talks about love, it's talking about the issue that comes from the heart. Now, what do you mean by heart here? Sometimes people think that it's about the muscle out there on the left side. That's not what Jesus is talking about. The heart here talks about the heart. It's really the spirit man, the real you. Because we always think about human beings as the body. We are familiar with the body. But the Bible says we are also in the soul. We have a soul where we feel. But the heart is often talked about is the spirit and the soul. The spirit man and the heart is the real you. That's where your desires come from. Who you choose to love and be faithful to is a decision of the heart. So when we talk about the heart, it's also about the spirit man. So we have come across this verse in Proverbs, which says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is the lamp or the candle of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of the heart. So we are talking about the depths of the heart. Means, what is a real deepest affection? What's a real thing? That's called the heart. So the spirit of man is the person that is in you, the real you, that God uses to check the real condition of your heart. Do you really love God? Or do you really love someone? Or is it really only an infatuation? Something of a passing fancy? So, it's about your spirit man. It's about the real you. Your heart. And so, what is the problem of the heart here? Well, the Bible says there are a few problems with the heart. Since the day that sin entered into the world, our hearts have changed. So, the prophet Jeremiah explains it this way in Jeremiah 17. He says that the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who? Do you really know the condition of our heart? Sometimes we don't even realize how our hearts have grown cold. So, the heart is deceitful. Sometimes we get deceived by the devil. Sometimes we get deceived by people. But there are other times when we deceive ourselves. We tend to think that we are better than what we really are. And so, we call it self-deception. So our hearts are subject to self-deception. Our hearts are subject to cooling off. Our hearts can be full of darkness. So the heart of man is the part where the springs of life, the aspiration of life comes from. And so, if we don't check our hearts, we can be deceived to thinking, I'm fine. So unless there is a means and there is a point where we regularly check our own hearts, we can have a situation when our hearts are growing cold, and we don't even realize it. So, hearts, like everything else, can start very warm, but it cools off. Unless action is taken to warm it up again. So there is a problem of the heart. It's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. It's out of the abundance of the heart that we speak. So, where does evil thoughts and evil desires come from? Jesus says it comes from the heart. The real you has been there all the time. And even if you love Jesus, I presume many of you here love Jesus. But do you realize that your love for Jesus can grow cold? He says love can grow. Of course, it can grow hot. Or it can grow cold, depending on what is being done. Hot, if you continue to warm your heart. Cold, if you do nothing. A lot of married people don't realize their hearts and relationships grow cold over time. And therefore, they have no plans to warm up their hearts. There's no plan to counter the growing coldness, the cold wave that sweeps over our world today. So why does this problem matter? First of all, it matters in three ways. First of all, God looks at the heart, not at the outward appearance. Men look at the outward appearance. We look at the body, the outward. But God looks at the soul and the body and the spirit. So God looks at things differently. Outward appearance is very visible. It's easy to recognize. But the spirit is not visible to the eye. Therefore, we must find some way to weigh our hearts. The word of God says that God weighs our hearts. That's what the book of Proverbs says. God weighs our hearts. It's not like saying how many kilograms is your heart. By weighing our hearts, God is saying he is checking, are we sincere or are we just pretending? Are we a hypocrite or are we genuine in our love for Jesus? Are we real or are we just under deception? We have a make-believe. So God weighs the heart. He looks at the heart. He checks for our heart. He's very concerned about our heart. Yes, last week we heard the message that Jesus said, I know your works. But that is because I'm checking your heart. Your works reflect what kind of heart you have. It all comes from the heart. Therefore, we need to check the heart. Yes, we can use the works as a counter check, but ultimately it must check the heart because that's what God is trying to do. He looks at our hearts. He weighs our hearts. He looks at the inner depths of the heart because the heart of the issue is the issue of the heart. Now, that's the first thing. In ancient times, even the well-known and highly respected prophet, Prophet Samuel. Samuel was one day instructed by God to anoint the future king of Israel. And so when he went to look for this person to anoint, God told Samuel to go to the town of Bethlehem and look for a family of a man who had several sons. So the moment Samuel came to the home of this man, Jesse, he looked and he saw, first of all, the eldest son. The eldest son was strong, well-built, handsome, tall. And he thought to himself, this looks like the man. I wonder whether he is the one I'm supposed to anoint to be king. And then the Lord told him, no, because man looks at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. Then there was a second son came, was a soldier, of course, and he was pretty strong too. So Samuel thought, oh, this might be the one. And the Lord again said, no, this was not the one. And then finally, after all the sons have lined up, God said no. So Samuel was wondering, who else? So he asked the father, is there anyone else among your children who's still not around? And the father said, well, there's still one young boy, David. He's out there taking care of the sheep. But I suppose that's not the person you're looking for, isn't it? He's out there in the field. And Samuel said, okay, let's wait. Send somebody to bring him. And he was only a teenager. The Bible says he's ruddy, he was handsome, but he was a boy. And the Lord said, this is the man. And then Samuel anointed him to be the king of Israel. See? God's way of evaluating lives has to do with the heart, not the outward appearance. That's the first thing, why it matters to God. He checks the heart, he weighs the heart, and he wants to know the condition of our hearts. Even though he looks at our out, our activities, that is only to reflect what is in our hearts. That's why when Jesus came to evaluate the church of Ephesus, the first thing Jesus says, I know your works. I know. But I want to check the condition of your heart. So what's the problem with your heart? Jesus said, you have left your first love. It matters. You left. Yes, you loved me before, but you left. The word left means to forsake. It means to neglect the relationship. And sometimes our love for the Lord, we have left. We leave. God never leaves us nor forsake us. But we can leave. In a marriage, even a husband and wife, you know, can choose to leave. Every time you let your hearts grow cold, you are leaving without realizing it. That's why the number of divorce is growing even in every country in the world. That's the first thing. But what's the problem then? Why does it matter? The Word of God here tells us about the Christians who attend church at a place called Laodicea. Laodicea is a prosperous city. And the Christians there, okay, they have activities, they go to church like everybody else. But Jesus said something about their hearts. They say, your heart is lukewarm. Hearts that are lukewarm or the love is lukewarm means neither hot nor cold. Why is this dangerous? The condition of the heart of the Christians in Laodicea was lukewarm because lukewarm is a temperature that you cannot feel. You see, if something is cold, when you touch it, you feel it straight away. You know, hey, this one is cold. Or when you just touch a hot stove, you can feel it straight away and you pull your hand back because you can sense. Lukewarm temperature is very hard to sense. That's one thing. So the characteristic of our heart is if you are lukewarm, you cannot sense it. Well, everybody likes to bathe with lukewarm water. Why? Because it's so comfortable. Lukewarm living, a lukewarm heart lives in comfort zone conditions. He's comfortable. Everything you ask him about, he'll answer, I'm comfortable. And we also ask people, can you do this or do the other? Are you comfortable? The whole world talks about being comfortable. But you know, when it comes to love, it's not about comfortable. You need to know exactly, is it hot or cold? Or worst of all, lukewarm, because when our hearts are lukewarm, it's very hard to detect. We think we're not that cold after all. But Jesus said, you're growing cold. Lukewarm hearts will grow colder and colder. But why is lukewarmness more dangerous than the others? Because you cannot sense it. You think, you are okay. After all, I go to church. I'm like other Christians. I'm no worse than, in fact, I'm better than most others. That's lukewarm. And so I've given you in notes several things that shows whether you are lukewarm. And we know you're lukewarm when you feel, I don't have any particular need. I don't need Jesus. I'm quite comfortable living day to day. But lukewarm Christians, Jesus said, matters to him because he finds it very uncomfortable. We are comfortable if it's lukewarm, but Jesus says, I'm so uncomfortable, it's just like vomit in my mouth. I have to spit it out as quickly as I can. I cannot receive it. I cannot swallow it. It's very hard to swallow. And the best thing I can do is to spit it into the rubbish bin. I spit it out. From Revelation chapter 3, we know that what do you mean by vomit or spitting out? It means rejection. In fact, In the story of the church of Laodicea, Jesus was not comfortable even to enter into the church. He stayed outside. That's why when Jesus told the Laodicean church, "You are lukewarm. You need to do one thing. You need to invite me in because I'm outside. I cannot live with lukewarm Christians. Lukewarm Christians cannot live with me either. Lukewarm Christians are not true Christians because lukewarmness is not real love. If you say the man's love is lukewarm, or he treats you, a relationship is lukewarm, what does it mean? That means your relationship is as good as zero. And those who are lukewarm and fail to invite Jesus back in as Lord, then Jesus says, you cannot come with me at the rapture, nor can you live with me, because I don't accept lukewarm people. They are like vomit. So what is the danger? What's the problem? Well, lukewarmness produces one result. Not welcome. Well, Jesus is saying now, because you're lukewarm, you don't welcome me into your house or welcome me into your church. Why should I welcome you to my house? Can you get it? If you are lukewarm to me when I come to your house, I knock at the door of your house, and you look at me when you open the door, and you didn't welcome me, you treat me in a lukewarm manner, of course I will not step into your house. And so, the reason is because I don't feel welcome. I don't believe you welcome me, because your attitude to me is lukewarm. So if you are lukewarm to me, and I'm not welcome to your house, why should I welcome you to my house? I will be lukewarm to you too when you come and knock at the door of my house. Then what will do? Well, it means I will not welcome you to my house. So lukewarm believers are not genuine believers, because there's no relationship. A relationship cannot be lukewarm. You cannot say, a relationship with us, that man, it's lukewarm. But we have a strong relationship. Can you say that? Obviously not. Why does it matter? Because God looks at the heart, and for those who are lukewarm, for those who have left the relationship, then I'm afraid Jesus cannot receive you. Okay. Now, Jesus said to the Ephesian church, you left your first love. First love with who? With me, God says. You left. Means you have severed this relationship. And so, when we have severed our relationship with Jesus, we cannot expect to be welcomed into his house. So, this is a problem. What are some of the signs? Before we talk about the sign, we have talked about what is the problem with lukewarmness, or when our love grows cold, why it matters, because God looks at our hearts, and God values those who stay with him. Those who left him, he will leave us. Those who welcome him, he will welcome us. Okay, then the second thing I want to talk about is, how do you identify that our heart's been growing cold? Maybe a few measurements will help us to check our hearts, because sometimes our hearts are not perceptible. We don't even know the condition of our heart. And the Word of God says that God searches the heart. We don't even know the condition of our heart, but God search our innermost beings of our hearts. So we want to invite God to search us on a regular basis. Every time we make time to meet with God, I like that song that that the psalmist recorded, that song that sometimes we sing in church. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Do you remember this song? Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's a wicked way in me. Because I sometimes don't even realize there's a wicked way. But what else can we do? So in the second paragraph in my notes I give you is, where is this shield found? How do you identify it? So I've listed to you a number of things. But basically, Jesus is talking about hearts of Christians. He's not talking about non-Christians. Because we are talking about a heart that has been warm toward Jesus and now is grown cold. And we are talking about this within the church, those of us who belong to Jesus. It says that lawlessness will abound. And because this lawlessness abounds, our hearts grow cold. What is lawlessness? That means our attention toward God's ways, God's laws. And the NIV uses the word iniquity. Iniquity simply means we rebel against God's laws, God's ways, God's will. When we talk about God's way of doing things, there are many things God says you are free to do whatever you want, but there are certain things I have put down as the way I want you to do. And we call this His commandments. Why is this so? Because He's Lord of all. When we love Jesus, we love Him as the Lord of all. That He is the Lord in charge of our lives. We treat Him as the Lord. That means to say, whatever He says goes. He's not a tyrant. But we know that He can be trusted to give the right things. I've given some lists here of what is lawlessness. Firstly, the spirit of lawlessness simply means there is no intention of keeping the covenant that God has made with us and we have made with God. There are some people who can make covenants, but they have no intention of keeping. All right. So, not so long ago, there was a man called, a dictator called Hitler in Germany. The man who put 6 million Jews to death through the gas chambers. The British Prime Minister, Mr. Chamberlain, went and made a treaty with Mr. Hitler. And Hitler signed a document declaring that he wants peace. There'll be no wars. Everything so beautifully all listed, chopped and signed. But he had no plans to keep that covenant. So Mr. Chamberlain went back to England waving that piece of paper. It's a useless piece of paper, declaring, oh, Hitler has signed this treaty to have peace with us. He will not attack us. We'll have peace. Is that so? Not long after that, Hitler sent his aircraft to bomb England. He had no plans to keep his word. This is the way the devil works. So if we are like that, if we refuse to honor what God has spoken in the word, and if we have no plans to keep the covenant we make with God, in this covenant we made with Jesus is that He will be Lord, I'll be the servant. He is the master, I'm the worker. That is the relationship of this covenant. He's Lord. I'm only His servant. I don't question Him. But if we have no intention of keeping the covenant, meaning you don't even know what is the covenant, then there's no chance to keep. Then the following things will show up as lawlessness. First of all, we'll be self-absorbed. We become a lover, but a lover of self, a lover of money. We love the things that are very beneficial to us. We have no consideration for Jesus. Second sign, when you begin to talk, you begin to see whether your heart is lawless. We begin to boast about our own achievements, not about God's goodness, or arrogance, where we have contempt of others. We look down on other people. Be careful. This is a growing sign. Abusive language being used, or we're disobedient to authority. And for young people, disobedient to your parents is a sign of lawlessness. And don't say to me, oh, my parents are not understanding. Our basic respect for your father and mother is fundamental to what we call humility. And if it's absence, I say to you that your heart has grown cold. Third one is the most common among youth. It's called the entitlement mentality. Entitlement. Oh, I'm entitled to going to university. My parents are supposed to find the money and send me to university. Oh, I want to be there in the United States. My parents must raise the money for me. When the money is given to me, I've studied. I don't even say thank you because I'm entitled. The entitlement mentality is the most common mentality that shows the spirit of lawlessness. Because any standard response is always gratitude. We don't deserve it. But the entitlement mentality says, I deserve not only to receive good things from you, I deserve the best. So I'll complain. So someone said, it was Mr. Lee Kuan Yew who said, Singaporeans are the biggest complainers. Others say, oh, that's a good thing because the more we complain, the more the government will upgrade. Well, there is a difference between improving situation and the spirit of ingratitude. The Bible says in the last days, everyone would be ungrateful. No matter how many things you do for him, he would be ungrateful. And he is also unholy. That means he'll call good things bad and bad things good. He'll call evil good and good evil. This is unholy mentality, using man's own idea of measuring what is holy and what is not. Unloving. That means the attitude of inconsiderate, being inconsiderate to others. You see that on the road all the time. Inconsiderate drivers, inconsiderate pedestrians, everywhere is so common. That is lawlessness. Inconsiderate people. Then you have got self-promoting. People tend to talk good about themselves, bad about others. The Bible says that every man always speak of his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? One is faithful to God's laws. Who can find? They are so rare nowadays. So that's called self-promoting, slanderous, or without self-control. That means there is impatience. There is no endurance. Impatient with people. It's also of self, like road rage is one form of lack of self-control. Without self-control, because sometimes we conclude others are doing us a disfavor. But God says that no matter what happens, you are to exercise self-control. Then there is fierceness, or what we call aggressive behavior. The Word of God says these are people who are haters of good. And They are treacherous. They betray people. You know, we sometimes think that betrayal is only common among politicians. And we think they are politicians across the causeway. But we betray God when we fail to speak up for Him. When men despise the name of Jesus, we have got nothing to say. When men do evil, we have got nothing to say. Abortion is one of the evils of our age. We've got nothing to say about abortion. So, this is a betrayal of the name of Christ. So this, but the most common measurement I suggest to you is to check what you love most. The Word of God says, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. When we put God one side and pleasure on the other side, which one will you choose? It's common to choose what is pleasure. Never mind about God. Next time I'll say, sorry, God, I chose the other. Then the second time it will happen again, and then again, and again. It becomes a habit. The choices we make, ranking who is more important, is a measurement of your condition of our hearts. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So, the advertisement in our newspapers are mostly about where to find pleasure. This resort, the other resort, what can you do? What are the things they offer? But seldom will you hear something about how do we love God? How can we be lovers of God? How do we prevent our hearts from growing cold? Well, you don't have much article on this. Or religiously, this is the most common, even among Christians. Lawlessness is what? Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. That means we have religious practices. We are very religious. Maybe you go to church every Sunday. Maybe you are not such a bad person. You have some form of godliness. It's an outward form, but there's no substance. That means that outwardly we can pretend, but inwardly the love for Jesus is missing. So it is what we call form versus substance. Form versus substance. So we need to check whether we are only pretending. Form, having a form can be hypocritical. But the substance is the real thing. What is the real thing? It's the issues of the heart. So these are some of the major signs we need to check. We'll talk about what is the problem of the heart, why our hearts grow cold, why it matters to God, because God looks at the heart, not just the outward appearance. We talk about what are the signs that reflects the condition of our hearts. What do we love? What we think most? How do we behave? Our outward actions. We have listed them all. What do you love most? If there's no love for the Word of God, how can you say you love Jesus? All right. So what are the signs we have finished? Lastly, I want to talk about what can we do about it. If you recognize that God will spit you out because you are lukewarm to Him, indifferent to Him, if you know that God weighs the heart and our hearts are very evil or what we call mediocre in the sight of God, if you are one of those who says, well, I don't want to be among those whose heart has grown cold. I want to stop my heart from growing cold in my relationship with God or relationship with your spouse for that matter. The principles are similar. How do I prevent my heart from growing cold? Knowing full well my heart will automatically grow cold if I do nothing about it. Just as the food on the table will grow cold, it never gets hot. What do I do with my heart, which automatically grow cold? Yes, I may start hot. I may love Jesus. I may follow Jesus. But how many Christians you can even name who once was zealous for Jesus, but today they can't even be seen darkening the door of the church. They have lost or they have left their first love. So if you say in your heart, Pastor, I don't want to be among those. I don't want to be among the many. Because many will be like that. Most will be like that. Many will fall away. Many hearts of many will grow cold. I don't want to be in that company because I want to make it to the rapture. What can I do about it? Let me suggest to you three or four things. First of all, God says you need to guard. You need to guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of the heart are the issues of life. Life and all its fervency comes out of a heart that is warm toward Jesus. So what must you do? Guard it. Protect it. Take care of it. Watch over it. Evaluate it. Check my heart all the time. How do you do this? Well, one way is to join the company of the few whose heart is growing warmer and not colder. I call this, look for fellow travelers, people who are pursuing a vital relationship with Jesus. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10, I gave in your notes, the word of God says, you not only must meet together with these kind of people, people who can spur you unto love and good works. Love means spur you to grow, keep your heart warm. And then you must not fall into the habit. What habit? Bad habit. What bad habit? Where you stop meeting with the people of God. Some people say, well, I can always worship God at home. I can watch the Zoom. Okay, occasionally that can happen. But we always say, try and watch. Even if you are watching this sermon on the Zoom, can you watch it with fellow travelers? That means others who are also trying to keep their hearts warm toward Jesus. Don't make it a habit of stopping. Do it all the more. Increase it fervency because the day is approaching. What day? The coming of the Lord. That day is coming near. Choose fellow travelers. One of the biggest problems in Christendom is this. We like to choose a church facility. We prefer a big building. Many, many facilities, childcare, kindergarten, kids program, youth program. Ah, that is wonderful. Oh, the facilities are new. The room is aircon. Everything is first class. The problem with many Christians is they search for facilities. But facilities don't last. It is people that matters. How many people will jump church, switch church, break a covenant with the church in which they have been baptized in, and they transfer to another church like a club membership transfer because the other church has got more facilities. Hey, facilities don't last because the kids will grow up and the facility will no more be so useful. Shoot for the long term. Fellow travelers who love Jesus, who take time to study the word, who walk with Jesus, men and women who are faithful in their walk, men and women who love the Lord Jesus, who love the word, Look for these people. They are so valuable. They are not so common. The moment you find such a group, stay with them. Travel together. Why? Because it's impossible to make this journey of faith on your own. Or nor can you do it on the back of facilities. Nor can you do it on the back of good speakers. Speakers who tell you jokes. Who is entertaining. Entertainment don't last. So you look for fellow travelers who travel all the way. Faithful men and women. Hey, these are the greatest value to you. Stick with these people once you have found them. Because together you will arrive. Because you will help each other to arrive. All right? Don't look just for facilities. All right? Facilities matters only for a short time. That's it. Look for fellow travelers. Join the company of this few. Number one. Number two, before I give you in your notes, is, I'll put a number two as warm your heart with the Word of God. Do you know that the Word of God is the most powerful tool to warm your hearts? If you have an understanding of the Word of God, God will speak to you. God Himself will keep your heart warm. Because out of the abundance of the heart, good things can come. So, the Word of God is very clear. You know, you remember when Jesus rose again from the dead on that Sunday early morning, Jesus rose again from the grave. By evening, two disciples still haven't seen Jesus in person. So they're on the way home to their village. Two of them, one called Cleopas, the other an unknown person, no name. When it's no name, you can put your name in it. All right. So two of them were walking and Jesus walked alongside with them and talked to them, but they didn't realize it was Jesus because their minds were preoccupied with their own problems. They were discouraged. As they journey along, what did Jesus do to deal with their cold hearts? Their hearts were growing cold. And as they journey on that 10-kilometer journey, what did Jesus do? The Word of God says Jesus opened the Scriptures and explained to them what God says about Jesus, His resurrection. It's the Word of God that will burn within us. Even the prophet Jeremiah, he was a prophet of, well, I would say in the days when Israel, Judah was going into slavery, and the whole country, the nation will close shop. No more Judah, no more Israel. They're going to be slaves in a foreign country. What did So when you got nowhere to go, what will happen? You need the Word of God. It is the Word of God that burns within our hearts. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's so powerful it can rejuvenate our spirit. It's the Jesus Himself say, men cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, the Word of God has got power to renew our hearts. So, what is the second thing? Warm your hearts with the Word. And when Jesus began to share from the Old Testament the very Word, what did these two disciples say? They said, didn't our hearts feel warm inside us? Even as Jesus opened up to us the Scriptures. That's what the Scripture can do. It'll warm your heart. If you take time in the Scripture and let Jesus talk to you, your heart will stay warm. Thirdly, I've got here would be in your notes, be a faithful servant. That means seek to be a faithful steward. Now, when Jesus talked about the rapture, the second coming, he gave a number of parables. And the first parable he gave was about a steward. We call him a faithful steward. The first one he gave us an unfaithful steward, the one God has put in charge. God had put him in charge of the household to take care of someone else, but he didn't. And the Word of God says here in chapter 24 that verse 48, but if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him at an hour that he's not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, we must be aware that there is accountability. We are required to be a faithful steward. We are given resources. It can be food that needs to be distributed, resources that need to be shared. But if we neglect our responsibility to the household of faith, then our hearts will never be ready. In connection with this, there is a parable of the talents. Jesus said, how do we keep our hearts warm? Well, prepare for the day of Christ's coming. On the day when I'll have to give an account of my life and the resources entrusted to me. Do you know that every one of us are given resources? So according to the parable of the talents, okay, let me just close with this parable. Because the parable of talents is one of the parables Jesus spoke of how to prepare for his coming. And it's about three of the servants. Jesus here in this case was the man traveling to a far country. Then the servants represents you and I. And this parable of the talents is what? The talents are money, resources. It's not your ability, it's about money. Gold talents is worth a lot. And it's resources delivered to us, but it's given according to what we can handle, according to our ability. So every one of us have received enough resources that fits our ability to handle. Not too much, not too little. And then what happened? The master came back after a period of time. That speaks of the rapture. And so what did Jesus do with all three of them? The first one reproduced fivefold, double. He had five talents, he reproduced another five. And the master said to him three things. Well done. That means they have been doing the work well. That means he did his very best. That's why it's called well. Well done. Good servant. That means you have a good heart. That means your heart did not grow cold. You have got a good heart. You have not left your first love. Thirdly, you are faithful servant. So why servant? Our relationship with Jesus is Lord and servant. Never forget that. We are all servants of the Most High King. And we have to be faithful. It means we keep the covenant. We did not betray Jesus. But what did he do? Did he do a lot of things? No. Jesus said, you have done a few things. He didn't say you have done a lot of things. No. You have done a few things. All Jesus wants us to do is to do a few things that are important to him. Not a lot of things. So you have the few things that are priority to him. One of them, keep track of our own hearts so that we never leave him. And then, lastly, we have got a third one. The third man, the second man was equally successful. But the third one had one talent, and he kept it in the ground. And then he comes back to, when Jesus came back, the master came, he handed back the one talent. What did he say? He said a number of things. He said, first of all, here's your talent you gave me, I give back to you. He said, good. No, Jesus was angry with him. What did he say that reflects his love for Jesus, or lack of love? He said, firstly, you're a hard man. That means you are very harsh. You know, every time God tells us to do something, we seem harsh. Harsh because we forget that he's the Lord and our master. He said, you're a hard-hearted man. Secondly, you expect something for nothing. That means you're reaping what you have not sown. And he forgot that the master is the one who had given him the instruction. Now he wants to tell the master what the master hadn't done. Telling the master, you have not sown. Hey, what happened? It means that he has misunderstood the relationship. Now, this one talent man thinks he is the master and Jesus is the worker. Oh, you are supposed to sow, not me. The person being judged thinks he is the judge. And then when Jesus responded to him, Jesus said what? You are wicked. That means your heart is evil and you are lazy. Now, many Christians don't think laziness is a sin, but God says laziness is a big sin. And because of his attitude to Jesus, there's no love for Jesus. He thinks that there's a lot of duty and he refused to do. As long as you think that as a Christian, you've got a lot of duty and Jesus is so harsh and he's a hard master, you have missed the whole point. There's no love relationship. And therefore, since there's no love relationship, Jesus said he would be cast into the outer darkness. Since you have no relationship with me and your works or lack of stewardship reflects your lack of love relationship with me, then why should I let you stay in my house? So the Bible says the servant was cast into the outer darkness. So, closing, I just want you to know this, that the heart of many will grow cold. Make sure you are not one of them. And how do you make sure? First of all, guard your heart. How do you do that? You look for the company of those who are fellow travelers. Fellowship with them. Two, take time in the Word of God and let the Word of God warm your heart. Third, intend to be productive for Jesus. Do the few things he wants you to do. Identify what the master wants. Only a few things. As an act of love for him. And never leave. Never leave this relationship. Because it would be too dangerous. We'll never end up in heaven. So, I just want you to be quiet now. I want to close in prayer. Can you suggest, decide, are you going to prepare for the day of Jesus coming? Just check your own heart before Jesus. Is there anything in your heart that has hardened, that has grown cold? You can confess it and return. You have left your first love, but you can come back straight away. Lord Jesus, we thank you for reminding us here that many of us, our hearts have grown cold because we have left our love for you. This day, I recommit my life to you, Lord Jesus. I renew my love relationship. I renew my covenant with you. I'll follow you and I will put you first. And Lord, may your Spirit guide me so that as I evaluate my heart, as I seek to guard my heart from growing cold, Lord, let your word fan my heart into flame. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.